Mummy, can I go out to play? Well, down through the years, each of her sons frequently asked that question of Panna, Mummy, can I go out to play? And how did Pamela answer? Well, on most occasions she said yes, followed by a but don't be getting dirty. And sometimes those words were heeded, but most times as boys will be boys, they came back in looking like muck magnets. And if children go out to play, then it's almost inevitable they will get dirty. And something of an achievement if they stay clean. And staying clean as a Christian, well, it's no mean feat either. We live in a sinful, broken world. And with the passing of each generation, man is becoming more and more depraved. We're told, young people are told, the theory of evolution, we're evolving into something better. But I think what really knocks that theory on its head, and always remember, it is only a theory, is that as you look at man, well, he's becoming more and more depraved and more sinful. Young people today face temptations that were never around when I was a teenager. And really, it wasn't that long ago, young people. The lure of internet pornography was something that wasn't around when I was a teenager. And yet I believe it's a huge temptation which many young people struggle with. With the click of a button, all sorts of images can be displayed. Don't be getting dirty, was the advice that Pamela gave our boys when they went out to play. And on a spiritual level, that's the same advice and warning that I would sound from this pulpit. Don't be getting dirty. Psalm 119, well, it's the longest psalm, and the overarching message of the psalm is the need for holiness. In verse 1 of this wonderful psalm, we read, "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." The psalmist clearly sets out his stall from verse 1, and he reminds us that we need to walk according to God's word. And if we do so, then our ways will be blameless. This evening I want us to consider verses 9 to 16. And that thought and that need for holiness comes into sharper focus. Yes, it's almost impossible for a child to go outside and play and keep clean. And likewise, it's difficult for Christians to keep clean in this sin-cursed world in which we live. So this evening, we dare to ask, how does a person keep clean in this dirty world? Or in other words, how can you and I really live holy lives? The psalmist begins this section with a question in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer is immediately given, by living according to your word. And of course, this doesn't just apply to young men. The same is true of young women, of a child, of an older person. This is God's blueprint for staying clean in a dirty world. Sadly, we live in days of low morals and where sin is very open and to the fore. Take a drive into Ballymena, or indeed any large town late at night, and you'll discover scores of young people under the influence of alcohol. Why? Why will they believe that they're having a good time? I thank God that I was saved at the age of 12. I thank God that I've never been drunk, nor do I have the desire to be drunk. But the devil's subtle and he makes that attractive. And I tell you that alcohol has been the ruin of many a life and many a home. And perhaps as you listen to me saying that, you're thinking, well, sure, what would you know about it if you were saved at the age of 12? Well, unfortunately, I know too much about it because my own mother, before she got saved, was addicted to alcohol. With the pressures of life, she turned to her favourite tipple, which was Stewart's Cream of the Barley Whiskey. And that was her source of comfort. An occasional drink, well, it turned into a quarter bottle at the weekend. And that quarter bottle soon became a half bottle, and that half bottle soon became a full bottle. She denied that she had a problem, but sadly that problem grew until she was hiding her drink from other people. And I want to tell you tonight that I witnessed enough to be able to say there's nothing glamorous about getting drunk. Maybe young people, you think, well, you know, when you go back to school and when people go back on a Monday and they say, what were you doing over the weekend? I was, you know, when they're telling you I was doing this and I was at a disco and I was out and I was drunk and I was off my head. And maybe you almost feel embarrassed and you kind of think, well, yeah, I wasn't really doing anything. And you would nearly be too embarrassed to say, well, actually, I was at church. I was at youth fellowship. And the temptation can be, young people, to say, well, maybe I should experiment with some of the things that my friends are doing. Steer well away from it. It's a well-known fact that drinking alcohol will also lead to the lowering of inhibitions. When we lived in Donegal, young people travelled for miles around to the nightclubs in Letterkenny. There it is on the screen. It looks like a sleepy little town. But it was a town where sin was and is rampant. I was told that young people under the influence of alcohol were having sex in the nightclubs in Letterkenny. Oh yes, once the Roman Catholic Church had a big influence on the people of the Republic of Ireland, but all that has been undermined by the many paedophile scandals within the Roman Catholic Church. And very few fear the church or fear God. But wait a minute. Is it any different in County Antrim? Is it any different in Ballymena? Is it any different even in this lovely little village of Ochakil? Young people, the pressure is on. The pressure is on for you to experiment with sex. But I say to you, keep yourself pure and wait for marriage. A few moments' pleasure could wreck your testimony. Could wreck your life. Of course, this evening I could speak on about the dangers of smoking and drugs, and so the list of temptations could go on. But here's the bottom line tonight. We live in a dirty, filthy world where the devil wants to corrupt our minds, our lives. And so the challenge before all of us, irrespective of our age, is that amidst all of the filth that's around us, how are we going to keep ourselves spiritually clean? Well, I believe the psalmist gives us several instructions to follow. And if we do that, then it will result in us being spiritually clean. Here's the first instruction, that we ought to heed the word. Again, I come back to verse 9. How does a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. You see, if we want to really be spiritually clean, then we must spend quality time reading God's word. There's no easy fix to this. There's no shortcuts to it. It's so easy to make excuses as to why we don't do that. But we must make the effort. We must have that discipline in our lives. EMT members, we are really delighted that you've chosen to be part of our week of outreach. And each of you have received a timetable of what's going on throughout the week. And you'll note that each morning there's an hour set aside for you to have a quiet time. And maybe the truth is you're not really used to that. You're not really used to having that time, a time when you can meet with the Lord in a personal way. And that's on the timetable, not just to fill a gap, but it's there for you personally to meet with the Lord. And yes, it's great this week that you will be busy in the community with 5-day clubs. It's great that you will be out involved in practical work with all the youth events. But all of that will quickly pass away. And as ministers, here's our deep desire that the discipline of reading God's word, that the discipline of meeting with God each day will be something that will become very natural for you to do, just as natural as it is breathing. We want you to read God's word, but the psalmist demands more. He wants us to heed God's word. In other words, we must live according to that word. In Genesis 39, we read of a young man by the name of Joseph. And there we read how he was tempted by Potiphar's wife to have an adulterous affair. Here was a young man who had every opportunity to go to bed with this woman, but he heeded God's word and he boldly said, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Joseph knew God's word and he heeded what it said. Perhaps as we reflect on our lives tonight, perhaps we realize that we've been not heeding God's word. Yes, as you've come through those doors tonight, you know and love the Lord, you have trusted in him, you have a testimony to tell, and yes, you read God's word each day, but maybe you know that you have been disobedient to God's command. And God has been speaking to you through his words, but you've chosen not to heed his commands. Are you aware that you've been disobedient to the Lord tonight? Then I urge you to cry out the words of Psalm 51 and 10, where he said, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." You see, it's the word of God that brings the cleansing that we need. In John 15 and verse 3, we read the words of Jesus who said, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." You and I who know and love the Lord, we need to heed the word of God so that we can be clean. Let's really, really learn not just to read it, but to heed it. But not only are we to heed the word, but secondly, we are to hide the word. Verse 11 is a wonderful verse of scripture. There we read, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And that verse, it tells of the best book, your word. It tells of the best place, my heart. And it tells of for the best purpose that I might not sin against you. And here the psalmist hides the word of God in his heart. But that's not for concealment, but rather it's there for security, that it might be there in times of trouble, in times of distress. In other words, the psalmist was not satisfied with a mere acquaintance with the word of God, but rather the word of God dwelt deeply within his heart and in his life. Dear friends, we ought to regard the word of God as a great treasure that we should store up and hold on to, that we should deeply value. And all too often I fear that the word of God is not valued and is not treasured even by God's own people. And if you know and love the Lord, then you should love to spend time reading his precious word. And isn't it true that the devil will do all that he can to keep us from reading God's word? I believe the devil seeks to distract us whenever we plan to have that quiet time. The thoughts of, "Oh, you were meant to do this," or "You were meant to go there," or "You were meant to text this person." All of that comes flooding into your minds. And I'm sure we could all say we can be so easily distracted. And likewise, when you listen to a sermon, it's the devil who catches away those seeds which are sown. Very often it's he who chokes the seeds that have taken root. But the good and honest heart seeks with God's help to hide the word deep in the heart so that it can bring forth fruit. And there again lies the challenge for everyone. Are you treasuring, really treasuring the word of God in your heart? Oh, we all know what it's like to treasure a photograph of a loved one or a letter that someone has written to us, and we treasure that. But may we truly treasure God's precious word. Let us learn to hide the word of God in our hearts. So we need to heed the word. We need to hide the word. But then the psalmist exhorts us to do a third thing. We are to hurl the word. We are to hurl the word. And to hurl simply means to share the words with others. In verse 13 we read, With my lips I recount all the laws that have come from your mouth. And I believe if someone has learned to hide that word deep in their hearts, so eventually it will come up out through their lips, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Of course, within our denomination, we have our monthly magazine, the Presbyterian Herald. I'm not asking you what you think of it, but we'll have it. And the Herald, well, perhaps one of the most popular aspects of the magazine is the photographs, where people turn up and see what's going on. And if a congregation has an article in the Herald, it's because why? Because they want other Presbyterian churches to know their story. And if you and I know the Lord as our Savior, then we're called to be a herald. We're called to share the good news of the gospel. You're called to share what Christ has done in your life. As many of you will know, last summer was the first time when we had the joint EM team among the three Presbyterian churches. And we had a tremendous week heralding the good news of the gospel throughout this village. And we praise God this summer that the size of the team has doubled. We're filled with an expectation about what God is going to do in the days ahead. And to the team members, let me encourage you tonight. Let me encourage you to pray for and look for opportunities to share your testimony with others. As you go, perhaps, to paint the fence, as you go to work with the children, as you go around the village, be that salt and light, share Jesus with others. No one can argue with you what God has done in your life. Be a good herald. Share that news with others. But surely this doesn't only apply to team members. Surely this is a word in season for every believer. Isn't it so easy to go through a day talking about all sorts of subjects and yet at the same time be guilty of neglecting our opportunities of speaking a word for the Lord Jesus Christ? I've been guilty of that. But we need to be like the psalmist. We need to use our lips to bring God's word to this needy village in which we live. The village of Ahuckle has approximately 4,000 people living in it. It looks beautiful, especially at this time of the year. And surely tonight we praise God for those who attend a place of worship, and we thank God for those who are genuinely saved. However, there are many people in this village who are still spiritually lost. There are many people who are still on their way to hell. As God's people tonight, as people who are saved, we are called to be heralds. We are called to share Christ with those around us. And sadly, I believe apathy and indifference has a grip on many of God's people. Oh, it's wonderful. It's really thrilling that we have a team of 30 willing to go out. But sadly, there are others who are skeptical of outreach. How sad, indeed, how shameful is that? People are dying. People are going to hell in this lovely little village that we're placed in. And it appears at times that few are concerned. As Christians, we have the greatest news in all the world. So let us rise up. Let us shake off that apathy. And let's go and share this wonderful news with those who need to hear. We don't need to go to Africa. We don't need to go far away. We only need to go across the street. And there we'll find people who are far from Jesus Christ. Let us boldly be heralds of the gospel message. So this evening we've been considering how as Christians we ought to walk in the Word of God so that we may keep ourselves spiritually clean. We've already known that we must heed the Word, we must hide the Word, we must herald the Word. But there's one final instruction from the psalmist, which is also of great importance. We must honor the Word. Listen to verses 15 and 16. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And if you're to be a clean Christian, then you must get to the point of honoring God's word. Not just small parts of it. Not just the parts that are pleasing to you. But we must honor all of God's word. We must be willing to obey what God would have to say to us. And that surely begs a question to our hearts tonight. Are you honoring God's word? Perhaps this evening you're aware that you have not been faithful to God's word. Then again, ask the Lord to forgive you, to cleanse you, to help you to honor his word, whatever the cost. Yes, we do live in a dirty world. We live in a world where sin is all around us and there is much that would affect us. But surely these wonderful verses in Psalm 119 have demonstrated very clearly that it really is possible, really is possible for you and I to live clean lives. Oh, we will never be perfect. We will never be sinless this side of eternity. But it's possible for you and I who love the Lord to sin less and less. It's that process of sanctification when we become more and more like our Savior. And I believe that will happen when we heed the word, when we hide the word, when we herald the word, when we honor the word. The precious word of God has the power to cleanse you. But this evening I say to you and afresh to myself, we must immerse ourselves into the word before it can become effective in our hearts and lives. And so as I close, my advice to you and afresh to myself is simply this. Obey God's word and he will keep you clean in this dirty world. May we do that. May we experience that for the glory of God. Amen.